Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for our quarterly All-EN call. We're thankful for your participation and taking the time out of your day to join us. Bear with us. We had a minor technology snafu as we opened the call. I will go ahead and reiterate some of the points that I covered previously. If you happen to already hear these, pretend that I'm telling you again for the first time. So without further ado, I just wanted to give some updates on our marketing business process. We have about 45 employment networks currently participating in the marketing business process. And just to get folks up to speed in terms of what that is, if you are unfamiliar, what SSA does for qualified organizations is to transfer limited beneficiary contact information, such as name and telephone number and name and address, to participating employment networks for the purpose of them conducting outreach to market their services to beneficiaries. The goal of this effort, most importantly, is to expand program participation by making more and more beneficiaries aware of the Ticket to Work program. We have been bringing more employment networks into this business process over the past year. We expect to have all ENs who have expressed an interest in participating onboarded into the business process by the end of the fall or start of the winter, but definitely by the end of the calendar year. This effort is led largely by the ticket program manager folks, Rose and James, who help pull the data and work with the employment networks. This is a manual process. It is very resource intensive. So we ask that participating organizations have the capacity to conduct marketing to at least 5,000 beneficiaries, but at a starting point, 5,000, and have the structure and capacity to provide services to more beneficiaries who would assign tickets to their organization through this process. So you have to have the capacity to do the outreach and also provide the quality employment support services to the beneficiaries who are responding to the outreach. So with that said, I'll transition over to another update of interest, which is our regional calls that were conducted in July. We had calls with the Boston-Philadelphia region. These efforts were led largely through our lead SSA executive for employment support, and that's Ann Roberts. She is the assistant regional commissioner in Chicago region, and she worked with us to set up a call with the Boston-Philadelphia regions where we talked about a variety of issues and activities underway. Notably among those were some updates on our research and demonstration projects that we've been conducting. Some of these projects are conducted in states where the regions have coverage. So it's helpful to give them updates. And these are things such as our bond demonstration project and our pod demonstration project. We also discussed some additional updates from employment policy, such as the 2020 Red Book availability. We can share that with you. We did send out an email notification regarding the new Red Book, but it is out and it's available online if you're interested in obtaining that. And then finally, and most notably during this call, we made the field, the regional participants aware of our marketing efforts. And there have been concerns raised to us from employment networks that their experience to some extent has been in the past where they've conducted outreach calls to beneficiaries. Beneficiaries were uncertain where this messaging was coming from. We all know that there's a lot of fraud being conducted from scammers who claim to be Social Security. And the employment networks were reporting that the beneficiaries were contacting the field offices and representatives and being told that, you know, don't respond, that this is fraud. In some instances, that the field representatives weren't even aware of the ticket program or that the ticket program existed. So the goal of this was to let them know that we are doing this. We are sharing more of this contact information with employment networks, and these employment networks are, in fact, conducting outreach to beneficiaries on a larger scale. And if they do happen to receive inquiries, that these inquiries or these outreach methods are legitimate outreach methods to get the person engaged in the Ticket to Work program. So we're doing everything we can on our end to communicate to the field components that any outreach conducted by employment networks are legitimate efforts to engage the individual to participate in the program, and that they will see more of this. One additional thing of note is that we've started an opt-in campaign through a ticket program manager, through our social media, and we have Facebook and we have Twitter and so forth. To ask any interested individuals who see our social media if they like to opt in for more messaging. And if they do so, then they receive text notifications about the program. We've started that within the last 3 months or so. We are collecting data on that effort right now. So we're continuously looking to share the message about the program and to get beneficiary engagement in the Ticket to Work program. So that is all the updates I have at this point. I'm going to turn it back to Adele to help us pivot to the next topic. Adele?
Okay. Thank you very much, Rob. And thanks to all the folks for working with us to getting us back on track. I will hand this over to Patrice McLean for some EM updates and reminders.
Good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name is Patrice McLean, and I'll be presenting some EN updates and reminders. The first I'll discuss is submitting personally identifiable information, or PII, for payments questions. We mentioned via GovDelivery message in June that due to multiple email PII breaches and stricter policies surrounding the protection of PII, effective July 1st, Social Security and our ticket program manager will no longer accept PII via email, even if it is password protected. Submitting PII to Social Security or TPM via email is now considered a PII violation. It's very important that all ENs understand this, and based on this, we're reminding everyone today of the approved methods for communicating with our office. When it comes to submitting PII for payments-related questions, we are strongly encouraging you to use the work case number to send inquiries via email to the Payments Help Desk, and the Payments Help Desk, again, is enpaymentshelp@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Again, please use the work case number to send inquiries via email to the Payments Help Desk at enpaymentshelp@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. ENs should click on either the Pending Payments for Me link or the Payments Already Made to Me link on the main menu of the ticket portal to locate the appropriate work case number. In the event that you're unable to use the work case number for any reason, you can use any of the additional options to submit PII to TPM. You can send PII via fax to 703-893-4020. Again, that's 703-893-4020. Or you can submit the information via mail, P.O. Box 1433, Alexandria, Virginia, 22313. You can also call the Payments Help Desk at 866-949-9687. Remember that the Payments Help Desk is in operation on Mondays through Fridays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Once TPM receives this information, they will route all faxes and mail to the appropriate department to be addressed. Be sure to allow extra time for processing, but remember that you cannot submit PII via email with no beneficiary names and social security numbers, even if they are encrypted or password protected, you can no longer send those via email to SSA or to TPM. In order to streamline our processes, we are implementing a new platform, which is new to some and existing to others, and that's called Government-to-Government Services Online, which we shorten to GSO. We'll use that platform to conduct your EN's annual services and supports reviews. We'll use that platform to send and receive all documentation related to the services and supports review. Your EN may submit PII electronically by creating GSO accounts in preparation for your next review. The program integrity team will contact your EN prior to your review to collect information required to create your GSO account. The program integrity team will guide your EN through the process in preparation for your review. It should be noted that GSO is permitted for services and supports reviews and program integrity purposes only. If your EN needs to submit PII to Social Security or TPM, remember the methods that we mentioned on the previous slide, sending your work case number to the EN Payments Help Desk or via fax or via mail or by calling the Payments Help Desk Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. I also wanted to give a couple of reminders on EN compliance. We wrapped up our annual performance outcome report process, the APOR, and in doing so, we identified various EN compliance issues. We noticed that some ENs identified that they are working from a home office and they did not submit a home office request, which is required by the TPA. We also noticed that several ENs said that they had individuals who are working at their EN, but we did not have those individuals listed as suitable individuals in our records. We also noted that there were several staffing changes at a number of ENs, when those staffing changes had not been reported to SSA or TPM. And so we're taking all of those items that have not been reported to us or that need to be brought into compliance, and we're reaching out to those specific ENs to resolve those issues. If you have any questions or based on what you've just heard, you want to submit a home office request or you realize that someone is working at your office without suitability or you need to report a staffing change, you can submit an email to enservice@ssa.gov with any questions, and we'll help to walk you through the compliance process. If you need to report a new EN contact, and this includes new or former employees, so if someone just begins working with your EN or if someone leaves your EN, if your key points of contact, such as your signatory authority, your program contact, or your ticket holder contact, if any of those items change, you are required to report those changes to our office within 24 hours of the change. So it's not the proper practice to report that annually on the APOR. We should know about it as soon as it happens. So within 24 hours, if you bring on new staff or if staff leaves your office or if there's a change to the key points of contact within 24 hours, you have to report that to through our ticket program manager. Failure to report staff contact changes may result in ENs not receiving important notices requiring immediate action, which can lead to a cure notice and possible termination. It can also lead to the EN being removed from the Find Help EN directory. In order to report changes within 24 hours to your key points of contact, remember to use the TPA change form, Form 1374, which is located under our resources on the Your Ticket to Work page. You can submit that Form 1374 to the enservice@ssa.gov mailbox. And finally, just a few reminders regarding suitability clearance. Suitability clearance is required for all EN staff handling or accessing ticket holder PII. So even individuals who are not directly meeting with ticket holders or with beneficiaries, if they have access to the system where those names and social security numbers are held, those individuals then have access to ticket holder PII, and we will require that they obtain suitability. EN With staff turnover resulting in no suitable personnel, will be placed on hold for ticket assignments and payments. We highly recommend that you obtain suitability clearance for more than one staff person so that if your one suitable person leaves, we don't have to place you on hold because there's no one suitable at your office to be in contact with ticket holders. At this time, I will turn over to Anna, who will discuss training.
Thank you, Patrice. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Anna Morales, and I just want to remind everybody about the Service Provider Foundations training that we have available. This training is particularly important for all those new point of contacts that you are adding to your organization. Patrice just covered the contract changes that you must report within 24 hours. And, we're here to assist those particular new individuals that are joining your organization. We have a whole curriculum that is targeted to each point of contact depending on their role. And it includes up to 14 topics that cover from the basics of what is ticket to obtaining suitability, my SSA account, using of the portal, ticket assignments, payments, and so forth. So as soon as you report that new point of contact, we are going to contact that individual and start the training immediately. One thing to highlight is that this training is mandatory per the TPA for all these new point of contacts, and it has to be completed within 60 days of that notification or change to your record with Social Security. This is also the training that we provide for brand new ENs when we bring them on board and all the new staff at existing ENs when there are any changes. For users that have initiated this training, it's important to note that not moving within the training for different reasons, of course, we are assisting you with suitability with my SSA account, but if you are not moving or progressing with the training, since it's mandatory per TPA, your EN may be at risk of having some consequences like put it on hold, for example, or not being able to be posted in the directory for ticket holders to reach out to you. So it's important training that needs to be completed within 60 days. If for some reason you cannot complete it within that time frame, please let us know and we'll work with you and assist you to the best of our ability to get you to that completion. These trainings are also posted in your Ticket to Work website, mainly as help refresh anybody at your agency that would like to have that refresher. And is there available, it has like pre-recorded information. We can also schedule one-on-one sessions if that is the case. Just email enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov and we'll be happy to assist you. However, for the new individuals and new ENs, they have to go through our learning management system because that's where we're tracking the completion of the 60 days and the different steps that are needed in order for your EN to be activated. And with that, I'm going to move on and have Mario Landerman to talk about social media.
Thank you, Anna. Hello, everyone. My name is Mario Landerman. I work with the Ticket Program Manager with the Outreach team. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the social media initiatives that we put in place, just kind of an overview of what we're doing, some results, so that everyone is in the loop. So first of all, we implemented a four-phase approach, and over time we've gone through these phases. It has been a process, but to summarize the approach, we're basically looking to do four things. Pinpoint the target audience. So we want to reach those individuals with disabilities who aren't working and who want to achieve financial independence. The way we do that is basically by targeting certain demographics, combine those with keywords, and then we even look at what time of day and what day of the week we send these, and then we follow the trends. What works, we put more budget behind, and what doesn't, we take off the table. So as we've been able to find more efficiency in our targeting, we've been able to winnow down our ads to the ones that are working and are getting engagement from our audience. In addition, we've been uncovering audience pain points. So we found a lot of things in our target markets, such as fear of bullying, ageism, confusion, and misunderstanding about how the ticket program works and what features and expectations they should have with the program. And the way we find these pain points are really based on engagement and comments. We target our audience, we put out the message, we find what works, and the ads that work tend to garner a lot of commentary and sharing, and we look through those to see what people are interested in, what they feel we might be missing. As a good example, about a year ago, someone had mentioned that, you know, they wish there were some more blue-collar help for getting to work, because lots of our stuff seemed very corporate. And so we started to incorporate more blue-collar subject matter into our content. Third, really trying to convert that audience both to the website and the help and to the helpline. So the website is really kind of a place where we place our flag and show that we are a legitimate organization that has information that the public values. We've been converting more than 5 times the industry average, and we see increasing page values as more people engage with our content and go to our website. Basically, what Facebook and Google applications like that do is, if you're reaching an audience and they're engaging, they deem you relevant and increase your page value, which means more people see your stuff and more people hopefully engage, which in turn increases your page value again. So we've been in that process for some time and have been very, very successful in raising us to the front page of Google searches, as well as garnering more reach and traffic through our social media. And then finally, we're looking to integrate all the lessons from Facebook advertising and really support our other outreach activities. Things that this advertising has shown us is that lots of people are looking for more user-friendly language, spoken in plain English. You'd be surprised at some of the images that work well on the ads. In our first implementation, there were 2 pictures that seemed to work better than any other, and one was of a lady grocery shopping, and another was of a young man working out in a gym. And so not only are we trying to match the demographic and the content, but also we test out different images along with all of that content. And in the end, we come up with a combination of targeted marketing, the right content, and the right image, and that's what we put our budget behind. And that's how we've been going through the process over the last couple of years. So looking back a little bit, in October of 2018, we began to advertise on Facebook. A lot of this was due to the changes in the digital environment. And what I mean by that is Facebook changed its algorithms so that it prioritized friends and family over businesses. Before that, they were somewhat of equal weight as far as who got to see what. But this was done on purpose, and it really forced businesses that if they want to be seen on Facebook to advertise, because the algorithms would push you down in who saw your ads. So we began to advertise in 2018, and we had a great success. We were working with a vendor, and we increased our average weekly page growth by 7,603%, and that's not a typo. We went from 7 likes on average to 550 likes on average. Our average number of people engaging with the post increased by over 2,000%, from an average of 2 people engaging to almost 4,000 people engaging with each post. In addition, our average reach on Facebook increased by over 1,200%. We were reaching, you know, about 250 people, 257 on average, and we brought that average to up to 3,500 people. And then also our shares. We've had more than 7,000 shares noted from Facebook ads. And I would say we would get lucky to get a share or two on previous posts before we started really finessing our advertising and our messaging. Moving on to the next slide. Some of the success has really shown across other channels. We've really increased our page value. Google search is now consistently the first or second source of traffic to our website, and this is due to the authority the site has gained from the traffic on Facebook. As I mentioned earlier, the more people you reach and the more people engage, the more Google sees you as a legitimate source, and opens up a larger avenue of potential audience to you. So in the beginning, Facebook advertising was driving most of the traffic to our website, but now Google Search has week to week will be the number one referrer to our website, because now Google sees us as a legitimate source of information for this audience based on our reach and engagement through our Facebook ads and the traffic that's been driven to the website because of that. So this increased legitimacy, to give you the golden standard of how this can work for people, in April, we had one day where a blog was recommended by Google on mobile devices. So on all Samsung devices, if you went to your Google homepage, you know, if you do it now, you'll see those articles underneath the search bar. Well, we were the top article for a single day on Samsung devices and received 96,000 views in that day. Now, that 96,000 views is better than any blog we've published over history up till today. And that was one day of being online with Google recommending us to its audiences. So that's a great example of how if you can raise your page value through legitimate and relevant targeted marketing, then, you know, cyberspace begins to help you because they see you as a legitimate source that people are interested in and find relevant. And then recently we've implemented Google Call Ads. Now the Google Call Ads, we've been looking to send people in two places, to the helpline as well as to the websites. So we were experimenting with a few different concepts on how best to get people to the helpline, but it's not necessarily intuitive for people to call from social media. So we found Google Call Ads, which is specifically meant to advertise and to garner phone calls. And the way the Google Call Ads work is, first of all, they only show up when people do a search, they only show up on mobile-ready devices. So they won't show up on a desktop, but they'll show up on your mobile phone, same search. And with one click, you can call the helpline. And we've had great success in that. We implemented it about a month ago. And just like everything else, we continue to tweak and follow the trends to see which ads work the best. But over the last 4 weeks, we brought in over 1,000 phone calls using the Google Call Ads. All right, and then just recently, we implemented an opt-in campaign for text messaging. That was implemented on July 13th. The way we informed the public about that is we had an outreach campaign that consisted of a few items. We published a blog about the campaign, sent GovDelivery messages to all of our subscribers. We also promoted it on social media, meaning Facebook and Twitter. We promoted it on a few pages of the website, maybe I think 5 or 6 pages. And then also the helpline is promoting it by adding it to its script and to the email it sends people online. In addition, and the first text was actually sent on July 15th. So we opened it up on July 13th for opt-ins, implemented the campaign, and then we're sending monthly texts, and our first text was sent July 15th. And actually, our second text will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And the last bullet here, I actually would like to update it. I checked our numbers as of about an hour ago, and we have 1,005 subscribers. So we just reached over 1,000 subscribers as of this afternoon. All right. And with that, I will pass it over to Jamie for the next agenda item.
Thanks, Mario. Hello, everyone. This is Jamie Pendergraft. I'm the Program Outreach Manager for TPM, and today I'm going to start off with some information about some new resources and other ways and content that you can use to help share information about the ticket program. Our latest new resource is called Benefits Counseling and the Path to Work, and it does include information about what benefits counseling is, who may offer it, which as you know many of you do, and how beneficiaries can access benefits counseling services. And the link to that new fact sheet is available in the presentation. I'd also like to invite you all to attend our next WISE webinar. The topic is Ticket to Work and the Path to Employment. This will be a very basic introduction to the ticket program and service providers. During the last few webinars, we've gotten lots of questions from people who are new to the program or just learning about it and have very, very basic questions about what ticket is. So we're taking this opportunity to go ahead and really just define the ticket program and tell them who is available to help them on their path to employment. It is next Wednesday, August 26th, from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and Ray Cibula from Cornell University will be our presenter. You can register online at choosework.ssa.gov/wise. And as always, we also archive all of our WISE webinars, so if you're interested in a particular topic, you can always go back and listen to it or read the transcript at a later date in our WISE On Demand. Since the last call, we've also published two new success stories. One is an update on Larry. Larry has autism, and he continues to work at his job that he was featured in several years ago and continues to advance in his financial independence. So we revisited Larry to see how he's doing and did publish a new story about him. We also shared a story about a woman named Johnny who was able to actually buy a home and achieve her employment and financial independence with the help of Ticket and her local housing authority. So she's not quite off of benefits all the way. That's why we call her, or she's not quite fully financially independent. That's why we call her story a stepping stone. But she still has a fantastic story and, as you can see, a bright smile. So she's a great story to share. As always, you are welcome to share information about Success Story and Stepping Stone candidates. You can always send their information to stories@choosework.ssa.gov. Our success stories feature people who have achieved financial independence with the help of Ticket, and the difference between those and the Stepping Stone stories, as I mentioned briefly, is that the Stepping Stones features have taken a major step on the path to financial independence, but have not yet eliminated their reliance on benefits or been off them for a significant amount of time. Our next slide talks about staying in touch. We've included all of our social media accounts here. We are, as always, on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And I do just want to say that if anybody would like to either promote any of these materials, the text messaging campaign, the fact sheet, or anything like that, you can always send an email to marketing@choosework.ssa.gov. And I will hand it over to Adele for questions.
Thanks, everyone. That was great information. And what we'll do is, Paula, if you can help us with questions and answers, if you could set that queue up and let them know how to do that. In the meanwhile, again, we appreciate everyone's patience and understanding. We will be sending out a message letting you know when this will be posted on our website. So if you missed something in the beginning, we will get this posted to our website and send out a message and let everyone know.
Thank you. To signal for a question on the phone line, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Also, if you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, it is star 1 at this time for questions, and we'll pause to give everyone the opportunity to signal.
All right, Paula, we can tag team because I do have some here in the chat, so I'll go with a few and then check back with you, okay?
Certainly.
All right. I have run into a hiccup in the verification process. SSA is not able to verify my identity in their system, and I haven't even added a new credit card in my name and not able to do so, and the offices are closed. That sounds like setting up my SSA account. That question comes from Chantel. Do we have any advice for Chantel?
This is Anna. She can email EN Operations, and we will follow up with her because we definitely need more details and information in order to assist her. So please email enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov.
Okay. Thank you, Anna. Are there any changes to the expectations for progress made by participating beneficiaries in the Ticket to Work program due to COVID?
Adele, can you repeat that? It was a little muffled.
Sure. I apologize. I'll slow down. Are there any changes to the expectations for progress made by participating beneficiaries in the Ticket to Work program due to COVID?
Yeah, that's a good question. Go ahead if somebody wants to jump in.
This is Patrice. I was just going to say, I mentioned a few weeks ago on the All-In Payments call that SSA is meeting pretty much on a daily basis to discuss the impact of COVID on a lot of our, not only our operations and our processes, but also on our policies. So there are a lot of things under discussion, and once decisions are made, we're going to make sure that we communicate all of those things with, of course, our employment support providers. So to answer the question a bit more directly, no, there haven't been any firm decisions made, but once there are, of course, we'll make sure that we bring that to everyone's attention.
Good. Thank you very much. I'll give correction to the email that Jamie provided. She wanted to make sure that we all know that it's ssamarketing@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Okay, speaking of which, how would an EN sign up to be part of the marketing process?
So I believe we have a mailbox for that. Anna, do you happen to know what that – could you share that?
Not on top of my head, but if they email EN Operations, we will definitely provide that information, and I will look for that in the meantime and provide it in a few minutes.
Okay, great. Can you share that email address again?
EN Operations at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that.
Paula, do we have any questions in the queue?
We do, and as a reminder, it is star one for questions on the phone. So first we'll go to Diana Bernardini.
Hi, you said that last name so well. Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. I was just wondering that we used to be having a discussion about a changeover for Ticket to Work from SSA to DOL. And I know we've heard business as usual several times, but I just wondered, are those negotiations still happening?
Hi, Diana. It's a great question. We are still in deliberations with Department of Labor and the Office of Management and Budget. I can't really get into a whole lot of details. We have some things that are in the works right now. When at the appropriate time we're able to announce things publicly, we will certainly let you know. And really, I hate to sort of kick the bucket down the road here on this, but it is, things are sort of still in-house, still being reviewed, and we're working on a couple of things, and we will certainly share that with you at the appropriate time. I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And this is Anna. Before the next question, I do have the email address for the marketing pilot or for information. It is data.marketing.poc@ssa.gov.
And we'll move on to Chantel Thomas. Ms. Thomas, your line is open.
Hello. I'm sorry. They already answered my question. I typed it in.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Paula, I'll do a few more from the chat.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can we still email PII internally when or within our EN when it is password protected?
Adele, can you repeat that question one more time, please?
Mm-hmm. Great minds. Can we still email PII internally when it's within our EN when it's password protected?
I think it's worth mentioning. This is Patrice. I think it's worth mentioning that the issue with emailing PII is that it has to be super secure, and we cannot, we are not in a position where we can verify the security of all of our EN's email systems. And so I think if the idea is that you can't send it to SSA or TPM securely, then it's also a no-no to send it internally throughout your EN internally. So our recommendation would be that no, you should not, and you should do your best to find other ways of sending EII even internally. If you're within an EN, I think the best method would probably be to pick up the phone and share that SSN over the phone. But we have had several PII breaches with the transmission of PII over email, and it's very, very easy for mistakes to be made. So we would recommend against it.
Thank you, Patrice.
Sure.
Let's see. There are a few questions about success stories. So, Jamie, if we have a possible success story, how do we contact you to let you know? I think that's been answered, but if you just wanted to reiterate, that would be great.
Sure. This is Jamie. It is stories@choosework.ssa.gov.
Appreciate you. And on that same box, how do we connect with the social media initiatives?
I may need some additional details on that question.
Okay. Well, maybe the person can chime in for us. Due to the pandemic, many beneficiaries were laid off. Is it possible for them to apply for unemployment without their benefits getting affected or terminated?
That's a good question. That would be a field office question. Patrice, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, and Adele, you said, is it possible for them to what without their benefits being terminated?
For them to apply for unemployment without their benefits getting affected or terminated.
Yeah, it's my understanding that unemployment does not affect their benefits, but I'm truly not sure. I would go to SSA.gov and look at the COVID-related resources because there's a lot of responses to questions such as those on the SSA.gov website. That there should be a link right at the top for COVID-related resources. I believe there should be a response to that answer to that question there. I'm sorry, I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, appreciate that. Okay, I'll do one more from the chat. Regarding the annual review, my EN participates in the BPQI POC and have a GSO account through this. Can I use this for the annual review also? And will SSA contact me through this account that I already have?
This is Patrice. I can take that question as well. The GSO account that is used for BPQI purposes may be the same as the one that we'll use for program integrity purposes. However, it boils down to the individual who's responding. So if the GSO account will be set up under an individual's name or an individual at your EN, if the same person who does your services and supports review is the same person who does the BPQI pilot submissions, we would likely the ability for your EN to submit information to a separate address within GSO. So you wouldn't submit your information
to, you know, BPTY POC as you'll see it in your current GSO account. So the program integrity team will still reach out to you prior to your review and ask you for information regarding who is going to submit information for your services and supports review. If it's the same person, then what they'll do is just add the ability for you to submit your services and supports documents, but it won't be to BPQI POC. You're going to see another address in that dropdown that will be specific to services and supports review. So don't go ahead and just send information with PII through that BPQI GSO account. We'll need to set you up to be able to communicate with the program integrity team.
Okay, sounds good. Now, regarding PII, let me see, I lost that question. I'll come back to that. Go social media. How do you connect with the social media initiative?
Hi, Adele. I think that was the one that I needed more information about.
Oh, that's the one. Okay. I did find the PII one. Regarding PII, there's no PII is allowed in emails. Is that the same between the EN who worked together with the ticket holder? So if no PII is allowed in email, is it the same between EN working with the ticket holder? So I'm imagining that it's the ticket holder sending communication to the EN or the EN sending that communication back to the ticket holder.
Yes, it is the same. We want to protect beneficiary PII at all costs.
Okay, Paula, do we have some in the queue?
We do, and next we'll go to Gilberto Van Sant.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Gilberto Van Sant from Goodwood, Houston. I was calling because we have initiatives in order to help our clients get gainfully employed and host many virtual hiring events through our company. How do we go about advertising those opportunities on the social media, on the Ticket to Work social media platforms?
Hi there. You can actually send us an email at that ssamarketing@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov with the information. And we do tend to promote more regional or nationwide career fairs, but we'll take a look. We do have a couple of different criteria for job fairs and let you know if we're able to promote it.
Okay, can I get that email? Can I get the email address again, please?
Sure. It's ssamarketing@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Moving on, we'll go to Sandra Abbott. Ms. Abbott, your line is open. Please check your mute button.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I had heard about a program where it's a special program where you would get a listing of potential beneficiaries who would want to participate in the Ticket to Work program. And I wanted to know, is that program still active? And if so, how could I obtain some additional information? Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Patrice. I'm sorry, go ahead, Anna.
I was going to provide the email address.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You can email data.marketing.poc@ssa.gov, and we will provide you more information through there.
Yes, and could I also ask, what is the name of the program?
What is the name of the program?
Yes. I mean, is it listed under marketing program or?
Yeah, data marketing is fine.
Okay. Thank you.
And once again, it is star one at this time for any questions.
Okay, while you wait for some of those, I can read some more for the chat. Okay. At what number should I send a contractor personnel role of request form? I'm assuming we shouldn't email staff PII, even if it's password protected. Let's see. So the contractor personnel rollover request form, and that's Jackie asking. Maybe, Jackie, if you chime in, if you ask a question, we can probably better address that.
This is Patrice. I believe Jackie's referring to the suitability process, and we're not making any changes to that process at this time. Those emails are going to our suitability office, and unless they let us know otherwise, that process is going to remain unchanged for now.
Okay, good. And what social media platform have you had the best success with in terms of reaching your target audience?
This is Mario. I can answer that one. Without a doubt, Facebook advertising has been the number one tool we've used. And the reason for that is because the targeting is very high level. You can also manage your ads in real time. So we may put 15 ads out at once and through the course of the day start taking some of them off that are not reaching people so we can focus on the ones that are. And you can also move money around behind those ads in real time to really follow the trends. Also, you know, with social media, that specifically Facebook, that is one of your best avenues to really get feedback. So you have a two-way conversation. You don't just put it out there and hope people see it or hope they find it relevant, but they actually give you feedback, and you can use that to inform future outreach campaigns. So by far, Facebook advertising has been our best channel. And, you know, something that we discuss internally, if you've heard the term, a high tide lifts all boats, well, Facebook advertising done correctly is the high tide that will raise the value of your websites and your other digital outreach channels as well.
Thanks, Mario. When a new staff person starts at our EN, they have to have a completed security clearance before they can take the training series.
Hi, this is Anna. Yeah, no, they don't have to complete the suitability process in advance. It will be better, of course, but they don't have to. We have suitability and MySSA account incorporated in the training curriculum, so we can provide that assistance to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Let's see. Paula, do we have any in the queue?
There are no questions in the queue at this time, but as a reminder, please press star one for any questions over the phone.
Okay. If the ticket holder prefers their resume emailed without password from an EN staff, is that permitted?
We strongly encourage everyone to not send any PII via email at all. We need to be able to protect the beneficiary PII, even if it's going from the beneficiary to the EN or the EN to the beneficiary.
Thank you for that. Anna, can you do me a favor and repeat the marketing email address, and I will
jot
that down. And
sure. data.marketing.poc@ssa.gov.
Okay, so that was P as in Paul, O as in Oscar, C as in Charlie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one more time, data dot
marketing dot POC at SSA.gov.
Okay, so when I get a chance, I'll broadcast that. There's a few questions about that. Paula, are there any questions in the queue?
We do have questions, and we'll go to Sandra Abbott.
Yes. The question I have a beneficiary, who is in the extended period of eligibility, and he's on FMLA leave. Is the money that he receives classified as countable income for payment, for prepayment? Milestone, I'm sorry.
This is Patrice. If you can add your question to the chat as well as your contact information, we'll get that over to our payments team. It's a payment-specific question, so we'd have to get back to you with the specifics on that. But if you're available to either enter your question into the chat or just send it into to EN Operations, then we'll get it to the payments team and they can provide you with a response.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Moving on, we'll go to Hamid Habjian.
Yes, hello. Using a sign language interpreter for this call, I am a deaf person, EN. And my consumers are deaf. They don't use the phone. In terms of information exchange and PII, and specifically if the beneficiary wants to text some personal information via text, are I not email? So my question is not about the email restrictions or advice. Is it okay to do it through text? We're not able to meet during COVID. So what is wanting to make sure that text messaging, some of that information would still be appropriate? Can you speak on that?
This is Patrice. At this time, we're just addressing sending PII via email. I am not sure of any restrictions on sending PII via text. If we hear of anything specific related to PII via text, we'll let you know. But what I mentioned today was specific to email, but thank you for the question. And if we hear of anything, we'll make sure to let it all ENs know. I'm not positive about sending texts, especially from the EN to the ticket holder via text, but we'll see what information we can find in terms of what the agency will allow and get back to everyone.
Thank you.
And we'll return to Sandra Abbott.
Sorry, I have a two-part question. I've been an EN for approximately a year now, and I want to ask, when would my annual review be? And the second question, if I wanted to add additional people to my EN operations and their contractual people, or they're coming in as contractual people, would I have to change my business plan?
Hi, Sandra. This is Anna. I can definitely give you a call and I can help you with, you're talking about business, your business model. So we can definitely chat on you offline and answer your questions.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And then the first question is, when would I be notified of my annual review?
Your annual review will be within a year or your first ticket assignment.
Okay, so it's been a year as of the end of July.
Was that the time of your first ticket assignment?
Oh, I see. No. You answered my question. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we do have your contact information, so I'll reach out back to you, okay?
Okay, thank you, Anna.
You're welcome.
And there are no further phone questions at this time.
Thanks. Appreciate that. I do have some more here in the chat. If we submitted the home office approval form at the beginning of the pandemic, how long were we approved to work from home?
This is Patrice. You should have received a response from our EN service team. If you haven't already received one, please resubmit your request to enservice@ssa.gov.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay. We did social media initiatives. There's still some more questions. I think this is probably a good slide that I put up to how to stay in touch, unless there's a different way that they're asking about keeping in touch with social media. So putting that up. Someone has indicated that they have been sending checks to their local Social Security office. And how will they know that they're being received and processed?
This is Patrice. I would recommend that you call the 800 number. That is not something that we as the ticket program office can answer. So I would recommend that you call the 800 number to find out whether or not there's any record of the checks being received. I do know that there are individuals sort of checking in to field offices, but that's about the extent of my knowledge of what's going on in terms of the mail operation. So in an effort to not lead you astray, I would recommend that you contact our 800 number just to make sure that you have the right information.
Thank you for that. How do we become a benefits counseling agency if we're not already?
This is Patrice. Please express your interest to enservice@ssa.gov, and we'll get you in contact with our WIPA, our contract that manages helping you to become a benefits counselor. We'll make sure that you put on the mailing list so that when trainings are coming up, you can be made aware, and then you can attend one of the trainings if, you know, it fits into your schedule. So please just express your interest to enservice@ssa.gov. Let them know that you'd like to join the mailing list so that you're made aware of upcoming trainings. In order to become certified, your first step would be to attend the training. So please express your interest to enservice@ssa.gov, and we can take it from there.
Okay, thank you for that, Patrice. I think just so that everyone is clear, there's still a few more questions about email correspondence within an employment network. But if you could just please reiterate that part of the question is, are we saying that employees can no longer be able to send an encrypted document within the email to each other? I know we've answered it, but I just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page with that.
This is Patrice. We'll provide additional guidance regarding emailing PII. We mentioned that EN cannot submit PII to TPM or to SSA via email because of we're not able to verify the security, and of course, we've had a lot of breaches. those breaches can be made, of course, when you're sending with PII via email within an EN as well. As such, we highly recommend against sending PII via email at all because of the risk that it takes, because of the risk that is occurred, the risk that can be incurred sending beneficiary information. I understand that you're discussing sending PII to your peers. It's just a very big risk if that information gets into the wrong hands. So we are not allowing yet PII to be sent to SSA or TPM. We highly recommend against doing it internally. And as you are peers and in touch in other ways, we would recommend that you use the phone method of exchanging PII throughout ENs as opposed to sending it via email.
Thank you, Patrice. Appreciate you.
Sure.
Are ENs allowed to put their social media on the company website? Well, I think they're asking, are we allowed to advertise our social media on their company website?
This is Jamie. I'll answer that and ask if they can fill in if they think differently. But yes, I would say that you are more than allowed to link to our social media accounts. You're also always welcome to share anything that we post on social media to your social media accounts as well.
Okay, thanks, Jamie. Paula, do we have any in the queue?
And there are no callers in the queue at this time.
Okay, I do have some more here. Now, as a follow-up, due to the COVID-19 regulations, meeting in person is limited. What other ways do you suggest that we provide the resume to the ticket holders other than email? And most perhaps don't have faxes or they're unable to encrypt. So what kind of suggestions do we have?
Anna, can you please repeat that? I'm sorry, Adele, can you please repeat that question?
Oh, no worries. So it's basically a follow-up to the COVID-19 regulations and being limited to meet in person. What other ways can we suggest that we provide resumes to the ticket holder other than email? Because some folks don't have faxes or they're unable to encrypt.
We'll provide additional information regarding PII in response to this call via writing to the EN.
Okay. Thank you. And that was a lot of our questions. Paula, any questions in the queue?
And there are no phone questions at this time. As a reminder, star 1 for any questions on the phones.
Jamie, probably is a good one for you. How do we advertise career fair events on the Ticket to Work social media?
You can send an email to that SSA marketing at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And again, if it meets some criteria, we will take a look at whether we can advertise it on social media. We also have a monthly career fair blog that does tend to feature more national or regional career fairs, but it may be a good fit for there as well. So that's SSA marketing at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov.
Thank you, madam. See, how long does it take to update the Ticket to Work program directory with EN site location changes so beneficiaries are seeing the most updated information on EN?
This is Anna, and I will answer, Patricia, if you have anything to add. I will say it all depends, because if it's a site location and you have a point of contact that is new to your organization, for example, or hasn't had the proper training, they have to complete the training that includes suitability. And until they complete the whole training curriculum, that site is going to go live in the website. So it's all tied to suitability and the completion of the training in order to be ready to provide services to ticket holders. So if anybody has a question of a contract change that they sent and they don't see it in the website, and they are not enrolled in the LMS training curriculum, please email EN Operations and we will assist you to see where in the process is that request and your new staff person.
Thanks, Anna. A lot of our questions still have to do with PII that we're going to send up follow-up information regarding that after this call. Do we know if the local SSA offices are open?
Local SSA offices are not yet open.
Okay. Is there a different way for the EMs to provide stubs if a client is not yet using the portal?
Adele, do you mean pay stubs?
I would say
from TPM from the beneficiary to TPM.
That's okay. So she started off by asking, is the local office open? So I'm imagining it's probably the pay stubs getting to the SSA office. So if Kim maybe could chime in, maybe we can get some clarification on that one. But I thank you. Okay, any questions in the queue, Paula?
Yes, and we'll go to Natalie Harrison.
Hi, everyone. This question was posed earlier, but I don't think it got a full explanation regarding completing paperwork to work from home during COVID. And the answer given was that we'll receive a response from the program manager regarding approval. But how long does it last is the question that I'm looking to get answered. How long is the approval to work from home? Would you have to submit a new one outside of the COVID, or does the COVID give you the ability to work from home? Is that like an indefinite approval, I guess is my question.
This is Patrice. Once we know that your home office is secure, you can continue to work from your home office. We would, of course, ask you to let us know if you're no longer working from your home office after COVID and things begin to open back up. But once your security and the things that you sent in to get that approval have not changed, once you've been approved, you've been approved. It's not like it's not something that you'd have to submit every year to make sure that you're still in good standing.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
We'll return to Sandra Abbott.
Yes, thank you. My question is, I know with the PII with the restrictions, but if a beneficiary sent you information by text, is that prohibited?
This is Patrice. I just want to reiterate, we're going to send additional information in writing to all ENs about sending PII to and from beneficiaries. What we provided today was mostly for individuals and ENs sending PII to SSA and to TPM. I know we're receiving a lot of questions about how ENs should communicate internally and also communicate with beneficiaries. That isn't something that we had addressed in writing yet. We will provide additional information to answer those questions.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further phone questions.
Thank you, Paula. And Kim actually did follow up. Kim Gonzalez said that we were right about her question. If the offices are closed, how else can stubs be provided to Social Security from an EN or even the client sending in their stubs if they're not using the app?
This is Patrice. I do want to clarify. Offices are closed, but there are some operations that are going on within the offices. I believe that they might have an individual going in to collect the mail and to take necessary action. They're just not open for the public to go in and make appointments, and they're not open to the public right now, but mail is not collecting at the outside of the office. They do have individuals going in here and there to take care of priority tasks. I hope that helps.
Thank you. At the AJC's, the face-to-face contact is also limited, and we're using the DocSign to complete the IWP. We also use emails encrypted, and we're saying that we're not able to do that. So let me make sure I repeat Daniel's question better. So Daniel's letting us know he's at the AJC, and there they have face-to-face contact where it's limited. So they're using the document sign, the doc sign, to complete the IWPs, and they also use emails encrypted. Daniel, I hope I'm doing you justice. The email's encrypted, and you are now saying that we can't do that. I think that's what Daniel's saying. And I think I will, Daniel, I think with the information we send after this call, it'll better address that question. I hear what you were saying. Okay. Looks like we are at 4 minutes till the end of the call. Paul, anybody chime in there?
No further questions at this time.
Okay. I do have questions from the chat. I think the information that we'll send out afterwards will help answer most of the questions from here. I'll keep going through here, see if I see anything. Oh, Patrice, you know, are there any requirements for the cloud-based platform to save and manage beneficiary files? Is that going to go out with that information as well, do you think?
I doubt they will be sent out together, but we're still working on providing information regarding cloud-based technologies. We will send something as soon as it's ready, but that's bigger than just our office. We're working with our systems components to make sure that we get the right information out. So I do think that the information regarding PII is going to be ready before the cloud-based information.
Okay, good. That one, wanted to make sure that we got that out. And I think that sums up what I have here. I'll give one last call for anyone asking a question in the queue, Paula.
And there are no questions at this time. My apologies. We'll return to Sandra Abbott.
Yes, I just had a quick question. after we go through this session, I haven't been receiving any emails like in regards to questions that have may not been answered or additional information. You know, you'll mention in the call that you would send, you know, updated information as a result of the questions being posed. I just wanted to make sure that I'm on the list.
Hi, Sandra, this is Anna. I will double check that you are on the distribution list for Gov delivery messages. But if you received the information for today's call, that means that, yes, you are on that list. And I will address any other questions that you have when I give you that phone call, okay?
Okay, thanks, Anna.
Yeah, no problem.
Next, we'll go to Gloria Freeney.
Anna, I know you just answered a question, but I was wondering, now, I know you said that we're not able to do emails that, you know, provide PII with the consumers when they, you know, we are completing the intake form. So do you think it's best to have them to mail it, the intake form, or fax it to us? Is that?
This is Patrice. Yes, mail and fax are much more secure methods of transmission than email. We mentioned earlier that if you're sending PII to TPM or to SSA, you can't do it via email, but you can do it via mail or phone or fax. So yes, that would be a secure method.
Got you. Okay. All right then, because I got in a little late, so I said, "Oh, let me need to ask them that question before." Okay.
No problem.
Well, I appreciate you. All right. Thank you.
And with that, there are no further questions.
Okay. One more question from the chat. Are electronic signatures on paperwork utilized through companies like HelloSign and DocuSign accepted?
Yes, they are accepted.
Okay, thank you. And the follow-up to that, is there a point to where they would be denied by Social Security? And if so, why would electronic signatures be declined? Well, no, my apologies. I just wanted to make sure Hillary knew that I saw her whole question. So the answer is they would be accepted. Okay, we've reached the final moment here on our call. What I wanted to make sure is I know that we had some technical difficulties at the beginning. I want to assure everyone that once we have this information gathered and posted, we will send out notification so that if you missed anything, that you will have all the information available to you. As far as the questions that were not answered from the chat, if they had to do with PII, there's more information coming up regarding that, and then we'll make sure that the questions get addressed otherwise. You see, our next call will be, November 17th. So that will be our next call. I can't believe I just said that. Again, I appreciate everyone's patience and time, and I want to wish everyone a great rest of the day. Please stay safe.
Thank you, and that does conclude today's conference. We'd like to thank everyone for their participation. You may now disconnect.